Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Indecision. Overthinking. Second-guessing every choice you make. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Beige on beige on beige. Ugh. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
If you have health insurance, you might be able to see a personal dietitian for $0 out of pocket. Nourish connects you with a dietitian that fits your needs, covered by your insurance. Nourish accepts hundreds of insurance plans, and 94% of patients pay $0 out of pocket. Meet with your dietitian online and message them anytime through the Nourish app. With hundreds of five-star reviews from real patients, you know you're in good hands. Find your dietitian at usenourish.com. That's usenourish.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Then we're just kind of venting on the Orioles, who lose 2 out of 3 to the Arizona Diamondbacks. Let's get out to the people. Let's go to Mike in Cherry Hill. Mike, thanks for holding. How you feeling
today? I'm not the best today, but good morning.
What's up?
Mark Jackson, who was the originator, and he changed basketball around. He had Steph Curry and Klay Thompson shooting threes and, you know, spreading the offense out. And then somebody in baseball decided they wanted the power hitter starting up, the person who hit the most home runs leading off. Everybody wants to adapt to what the new thing that's coming out. I think the Orioles don't have a team like that. I don't like Gunnar Henderson leading off, Adley Rutschman batting after them. I'd like to go back to where it used to be when you had Buford and Blair leading off. You need to have somebody who can get a base hit, speed, preferably steal a base. Rob Long was talking real bad about Mateo a couple of days ago, but then the same day Mateo pinch hit and he pinch run for somebody. He got on first base. He stole second base, and then he stole third base. It was the most exciting thing that the Orioles have done in the last couple of games. And we don't manufacture runs. The Orioles haven't manufactured runs in, God knows, in years. And because they're hitting to so many double plays right now, they should do more hit and run and stealing, trying to steal bases. If you're going to play Jackson, you need to move Jackson up in the beginning of the lineup, so that if he gets on base, that he can try to steal a base. Same thing you need to do with Mullins. I still think that it's a mistake that the Orioles are trying to hide the poor defense that they play with offense. I think it's crazy that you don't have, and again, Mateo and Urias at shortstop in third. Because, I've watched so many times ground balls go up the middle that Gunnar Henderson and Jackson Holliday, that they don't get to. There's so many little things that the Orioles aren't doing that they haven't been doing. And the biggest thing to me is manufacturing runs. Because you don't have those big innings like you did the first game, every time somebody get on first base and there's no outs, try to push and lay down a bunt, especially – and then pitches. Hold on, I'm sorry, real quick.
We got other callers here. Yeah.
Okay, one last thing. Baseball, because it's the slowest game between baseball, basketball, and football, it's the slowest game. A pitcher will try to always get across a strike for the first pitch. So many times the Orioles will let that pitch go by, or they don't think to try to think what kind of pitch he's going to throw, a fastball, a curveball.
All right, Mike, I appreciate it, and I hear you venting, and I understand that. And look, I'll start with the Mateo. when you're getting on base as the pinch runner, there's your major problem because you can't steal first. So Jorge Mateo, if he could hit and brought a little more to the table offensively, I'm assuming they would have more of a role for him. And quite frankly, when Gausser comes back, whenever that is, they're going to have to make some tough decisions. And I know they like Jorge Mateo.
Yeah, I mean, it's because...
When's he become an asset other than, hey, he's fast?
Yeah, I mean, look, when we look back to it, Jorge Mateo got some good runway to be an everyday guy when we're going back a couple of years ago, right? And he had that fantastic April back in, what, 2023?
Yeah, 23. Could have been player of the month.
And then it really fell off. And then his opportunities started to dwindle. Then he found his role. And Jorge Mateo is a good role player for the Orioles that can play multiple positions. But I think the bigger thing here, Bob, and to answer this is, for every lineup, you need to have a little bit of everything. You need to that's what makes a lineup go. Jim Thome, one of the best power hitters of all time, talked to him recently. He said, you got to know thyself. That was Charlie Manuel, old hitting coach, manager for the Phillies. And essentially, the thing is, do what you can do the best. If you're a power hitter, we're going to need you to drive in runs. But your responsibility might be, hey, find a way to get on base. Find a way to hand the baton off to the next guy. And I think that's what the Orioles, I think, that we're not seeing, is that we have a lot of guys that have to be the ability to hit for power and to do some great things, but you need the correct pieces to the puzzle, if that makes sense. You need guys that can do the little things that can allow the other parts of the lineup to really thrive, and that's where the disconnect, I think, is what I'm hearing and also what I'm seeing on the field.
And by the way, Mateo did steal second and third, but he got caught in a rundown between third and home. Mm-hmm. And by the way, Sweet Swinging Kenny Singleton, who we just had on a few minutes ago, 1975, because he got on base, he let off for Earl Weaver's Orioles. So I think ultimately you want someone that lead off to lead off that gets on base. Now, Singy wasn't the fastest guy, no offense, Ken, but you get on base and everything, I guess, takes care of itself from there.
Yeah, I mean, also with the Gunnar Henderson conversation about, you know, you want a guy that's either going to walk or find a way to get on, right? One way or another, get on base. Gunnar had a .364 on base percentage last year, right? So pretty solid. He also stole 21 bags, so he can move a little bit. You want someone at the top to get the engine going. I do like the idea of putting Cedric Mullins up there.
No doubt.
But at the moment right now, you know who your best RBI guy is?
Cedric Mullins.
So you want to keep him in the middle of the lineup. But that's the thing, is you got to find who can be that catalyst to start your lineup and maybe give them one more chance at the top of the order.
Orioles off today, taking on Toronto tomorrow, weather permitting, start of a 3-game set. Birds get shut out yesterday, 9-0. Bob Haney, Ryan Ripken, Nolan McGraw is on the other side of the glass. Let's go get Robbie. Robbie's first base. Robbie, what's happening?
Bob, Ryan, I love hearing you guys talk, but I'm going to be the elephant in the room. You know what Doc Holliday said to Johnny Ringo, Bob?
Yes.
I'm your Huckleberry?
Yes.
I am. And you know where I'm going with this. I just heard the guy talking about Mateo. Well, Mateo can't steal first. He's got to get on and catch the ball. The problem with the Orioles is the pitching. And the pitching is bad right now, and it doesn't look like it's going to get better. I don't even think we're going to win 80 games unless something happens that I don't see. So it's going to be trouble in River City right now. And you guys can put all the spin you want on it, because we've got the hitters, and they're going to hit the ball. But pitching is the problem. And they haven't even talked about how well these guys are going to be taxed in the middle innings to get to the last. You never do see Benitez. You're never going to see him, because it's never going to be that way. So until they address the pitching, and it's not the management, it's not spending the money, because every team tries to get pitching, every team. It's just not out there. And I don't see it changing for the Baltimore Orioles right now. And I love them more than you, Bob. Nobody can love them more than you. And you, Ryan Ripken.
Well, apparently you do, because you just said.
Yeah, I mean, I do. But, hey, I mean, come on now. And I know you guys, you know, Ripken, you know, he's got an interest in it. I mean, his dad owner of the club, and you talk about him all the time, so you got to be positive. And I love him. I'm positive. But, boy, we got trouble in River City right now. And we're seeing it because now Toronto is going to come to Baltimore. And we're going that's the hottest team in our division. And our division is going to be tough. So I don't see things changing unless Bob Haney or Ryan Ripken can get out there and pitch, or Robbie Davis. And that ain't happening. Folks, we're in trouble.
All right, there's Robbie Davis. And to follow up on your Doc Holliday, you ain't no daisy with those comments, for sure. But we'll come back, elaborate. If you're on the phones, we'll get to you at 410-583-1057. Whip around coming up next. There was a touching reunion in Dallas. If you know where I'm going with this one, some cool Oriole stuff happened on this day, April the 10th. Mike Bordick, Oriole Hall of Famer. He's like Ryan. He's more on the positive side, and he's pro Mateo. See if he still feels that way.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus tax, for a limited time and subject to change. Max one offer per account.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Do you know about the true crimes that inspired a Bruce Springsteen album? Or the murders AC/DC was blamed for? How about Taylor Swift's violent stalkers? Or the suspicious deaths of Brittany Murphy and River Phoenix? These stories and more are told in the Disgraceland podcast, hosted by me, Jake Brennan, every Tuesday, where I dive deep into subjects from the dark side of music history and entertainment. So follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Coming up in a few.
Vinny and Haney's Whip Around.
Every sport. Every game.
Everything. Brought to you by Box Hill Pizzeria and Crab Cakes. Best crab cakes in Harford County.
Time for the Whip Around. Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Vinny is off today and tomorrow. He's at St. Louis with Penn State's hockey team. It's Charlie Serrato and the boys trying to win themselves a national championship. Ryan Ripken, however, is here, and he'll be here the tomorrow, too. So we got a lot to get to. We got the AL East report coming up later on in the program. Maryland did get another transfer from Texas A&M. Buzz Williams, George Turkson, 6'7", forward. Didn't play last year, however, and he was a top 110, 115 recruit a couple of years ago, but the last two dudes that came in, Mills yesterday and then Turkson today, and look, you're just trying to fill out a roster because literally everyone left. But the last couple of guys for a team that was a 4 seed and ranked in the top 20 didn't play. Yeah, maybe there's a lot of depth on that.
Yeah, I mean, and also, too, but you're right. You know, this is the part of the transfer portal that I think people miss out, especially when it's late in the game. You know, Buzz coming to the Terps, it's late in the game. You know, even for Kevin Willard, which we know, we can talk about how long that was in the works, but you're scratching and clawing. You need bodies. You know, it's not always going to be maybe the guys that are going to help you get to where you want to go, but give them a chance, see what happens, but you got to fill out a roster.
Your thoughts, Ryan Ripken, on how the championship game unfolded on Monday night, where it looked like Houston was destined to cut down the nets, and they couldn't even get off a shot in their last couple of possessions there.
Well, you know, you could say going to the semifinals, it felt that Duke was destined to win that game, too, and you see what happens. Yep. I hate the cliche, I'm about to do it, but you got to play till the final whistle, and that's what happened. Houston pulled it off on Duke, and then Florida just kept battling and battling, and man, that's going to be haunting. You know, it's one thing you miss a shot, you throw up a little Hail Mary there at the end, but not to get one off at a chance of the national championship, and with all of Houston's just shortcomings in the tournament over the years, it's tough. Hell of a game, though.
Yeah.
Great game.
Hey, look, their defense came to play. I mean, they held Duke and Florida, two of the highest scoring teams in basketball, to under 70. You would figure championship Cougars, but I told Nolan this because he's on the younger side like yourself. I referenced the NC State team of 83.
Mm-hmm.
That's not even the worst loss in championship history for Houston. It was 83. Lorenzo Charles on the dunk to beat Phi Slamma Jamma at the buzzer in Albuquerque. Anyway, Caps tonight. They're hosting Carolina. Final five games of the regular season. Capitals, Ovi Ovechkin. I mean, you know, thinking too about records being broken, but nobody thought they would beat Gretzky. Ovi did, and he passed it, and he's going to stack, of course, the rest of this season and maybe for a couple more years. But now for the Caps, I don't know how big of a hockey guy you are. I mean, now it's about getting right for the postseason, the Stanley Cup playoffs.
Yeah, all the hype was around chasing the record, which rightfully so, especially that Ovi did it after missing time. But the Caps are pretty darn good. I mean, pretty darn good. They're the best team in the Eastern Conference, right? You know, and what's the goal at the end of the day? Win the Stanley Cup. Amazing individual effort. We might never see anyone break the record. Never can say never. I got to stop with that. But right. Yeah, Caps, you got to get right. Playoffs are right around the corner. I got to say, hockey playoffs, Bob, I'm glued. I think it is one of the most intense events in sports that you can watch.
Yeah, the Caps made the playoffs last year, were easily dismissed by the Rangers. Now they're going in as maybe the favorites, certainly in the East, and we'll see if they can stabilize at the right time. In the NBA last night, as we get our local flavor as usual, Philadelphia beat the Wiz 122-103. Jeff Doughton Jr. for the Sixers, 27 years old, out of Rhode Island, had 30 points to lead the way. Philadelphia's roster done, decimated. Everybody's out for the season, but they win. Bob Carrington, however, Baltimore's own, he had 12 points, 4 boards, 6 assists. It was Toronto over Charlotte, 126-96. Emmanuel Quickley, 8 points, 2 boards, and an assist. And that one, Chicago beat Miami 119-111. Josh Giddey, talk about a guy that has blossomed into a stud. 28-16-11 for the Bulls, and he came over from OKC in the trade there. And since they got rid of LaVine, too, in Chicago, he's become maybe a multiple time. He's still a young guy, 22-23. Because he was a teenager when the OKC drafted him a few years ago.
Yeah, Chicago's kind of got some pieces that made you excited. And they had those pieces before, right? But maybe it felt like it was stunted. Like Josh Giddey, you're seeing every single night that he's going out there going, man, this guy could be our guy for the next decade. And, you know, the Bulls could have a better record. But overall, there is optimism in Chicago moving forward.
And they're in the play-in tournament.
Yeah.
See how that goes. Kevin Huerter for the Bulls last night, former Terp, 22 points, 4 boards, 7 assists. Jalen Young and Jalen Smith, the two Jalens, former Terps. And Jalen, of course, from Baltimore, sticks. A DNP coach's decision. For the Heat, however, Haywood Highsmith, Archbishop Curley, 5 points, 8 boards, 4 assists there. Speaking of OKC, they beat Phoenix 125-112. Aaron Wiggins, University of Maryland, he had 17 points for the Thunder. Damian Lee, Calvert Hall had 2 for the Suns, who are pretty much done. They're going to be out of it. Clippers beat Houston 134-117. James Harden, 35 points, 3 rebounds, 10 assists. Cam Whitmore, Spalding, Villanova, he had 14-5-2 for Houston. And it was the Lakers, 112-97 over Dallas. And it was a touching homecoming for a guy that likes to drink beer, apparently.
Doncic steps back, three-pointer. It's good! Rattles it home! 43 points for Doncic.
ESPN on the call. Luka Doncic went back to Dallas where he's traded. Anthony Davis, blockbuster trade a couple of months back. A teary-eyed Luka because they did, Ryan, the video tribute to him. Getting a standing ovation. Yeah, 31 at halftime. Finished with 45. Alex Len, by the way, for the Lakers, DNP coach's decision, former Maryland Terrapin. But how do you think Anthony Davis felt? Like, oh, my God, the guy that they traded to get me, he's getting a standing ovation?
You know what? I'm sorry for Dallas fans. It just, that was their beloved guy. And Luka loved them. I think that was what you saw in the tribute.
Sure,
it was
sure,
a guy
sure.
that truly loved being a Dallas Maverick. And, you know, he felt betrayed in a way. And you know what? There was no doubt in my mind when this game was circled, Luka was going to make a statement. And boy, did he. And Anthony Davis, hell of a player, obviously speaks for itself. So that's a hard situation to jump right into, with especially the magnitude of what Luka brought in Dallas and internationally. The Mavs are going to be hurting in more ways than one, Bob, seeing that they might lose 8 or 9 figures in the business side just from losing Luka to Los Angeles.
Yeah, Lakers clinched the playoff spot with that win, by the way. It's the Whip Around, Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan, Bob Haney, Ryan Ripken, Nolan McGraw, other side of the glass. This day in Orioles history, it's April the 10th, 1983. In Cleveland, birds clobber the Indians, as they were called at the time, 13-2. Eddie Murray hit a 2-run jack. He had 4 ribbies on the day. Brother Lowe, John Lowenstein, 2-for-4 with 3. Cal Ripken, 2-for-5, 3-run score. Dennis Martinez goes 8 strong as the eventual world champions win one early in the season against the Tribe. Hey, the good old days, Nolan, 2 years ago, 2023, Oriole Park, Camden Yards. Ryan Mountcastle, Adley Rutschman, and Austin Hayes all hit home runs.
Mm.
How about that? Kyle Gibson got the win as the Orioles beat the then Oakland A's 5-1. Seems like only yesterday.
Yeah, good times, right? I guess there's no more good times ahead if we're going off of today's feeling, but we're picking it up, Bob. I swear, the Orioles are coming back. They're fine.
Well, the bad feelings are going to continue for another hour and a half, but Mike Bordick's joining us next, our colleague here on BBT, brought to you by Jerry's Home Services. Bob Haney, Ryan Ripken, get his thoughts on Mateo, get his thoughts on the pitching staff, and how the Orioles can turn it around. Funhouse Trip, Nolan McGraw, your phone calls at 410-583-1057. Total Request Thursday here on The Fan. Get his impressions of the team. He's our colleague from Baltimore Baseball Tonight. Brought to you by Jerry's Home Services. Of course, he's an Oriole Hall of Famer. He's the one and only Mike Bordick. Bordy, what's up?
Bob, how are you today, man?
I'm doing all right. I was percolating early. I've kind of calmed down here in the last hour and a half because I didn't want to napalm him completely, but the concerns are there. But you've been pro Jorge Mateo since we've been working together. I'm kind of soured on him. How does Mike Bordick feel about Georgie as we sit here on April the 10th?
Well, listen, Jorge Mateo is the least of the Orioles' problems. I'll tell you that right now, okay? Jorge Mateo is still, in my opinion, a very valuable asset to any legitimate winning team. If he's plugged in the right spots, we have seen how beneficial he can be. So I am not worried about Mateo. Yeah, would I like him to hit a little bit more? I think we all would love that, but he's still a dynamic, electric player that I think sometimes just needs to be put in the right position, you know, at the right time. And I think he'd be an elite bench player for this Oriole team.
All right, since Jorge Mateo is the least of the Orioles' concerns as we sit here April the 10th, I guess it's starting pitching, obviously, but what's the concern level for you, Mike, in regards to the Orioles' offense or lack thereof right now?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not overly concerned, to be honest with you. Do I wish they were off to a better start? Absolutely. They're just kind of sputtering, and they don't have many parts of their game really working well. I know there are a couple hot hitters, but you know, you're looking at the total package, and you got to look at base running, which I think has always, well, at least the past couple of years, been their strength, something that's pushed them into the most elite offense in the game, in my opinion. And they haven't been doing that very well. As a matter of fact, it's cost them more opportunities than I think actually helped them so far this year, their base running. And, yeah, just some inconsistencies, you know, overall with the lineup. They're not obviously hitting for power, which I think is a huge part of this Oriole offense coming into the season. I think we all had anticipated another strong offense, and I still believe they're going to be there. But right now, just not able to get everything on the same page. And I'm talking everything. And I know we're just talking about the Oriole offense right now, but, you know, defensively and pitching, it just everything's been a little off. And it may take a little time for them to get back on the right track, but I really do believe they will. I think this is just early season adjustments for all of them.
Yeah, you got to execute when you play teams that have some talent. If you don't execute better than the other team, Bordy, we know you're usually not going to win those games. And also, to your point, you know, Gunnar Henderson has to have his spring training kind of right now, where he's trying to get acclimated after missing a lot of time. You know, one thing, though, you know, we talked about this in the past, but, you know, it's early on. And I got to say, one strength, though, that people were a little bit concerned, I mean, take out, you know, Perez off to a slow start, but the bullpen actually has been really solid. Do you think, Bordy, this is something that could be sustainable, or is there a little bit worry if the starting pitching can't go deeper into games that this team could have a little bit of fatigue set in earlier than hoping?
Well, I think every year that's our biggest concern. Is the Oriole bullpen going to get wiped out because pitchers just can't go deep enough? And yeah, that's a definitely a concern. I'm happy as heck that the bulk of the bullpen has been tremendous, if you ask me. You know, even though, you know, there's been very limited high leverage opportunities for a lot of these guys, unfortunately. But I what's been coming out of most of their hand has been looking really good. Great life. You know, I think they complement each other very well. I'm excited to see when the games get a little tighter and the Orioles are able to stay in more games, you know, what truly does happen at the end of this bullpen. Is Batista going to be that guy? You know, how are they going to stack Soto and Dominguez? And is Baker, all of a sudden, has he emerged as a back-end guy? So it's going to be pretty interesting. So let's hope the Oriole offense can keep them into some games and maybe the starting pitcher can go a little bit deeper. But, yeah, I'm always concerned just about overall organizational depth, optionable pieces in a bullpen, and are they going to be able to withstand the rigors of another long season when, you know, just on average, starters just don't get deep enough, so every bullpen gets worn out.
For sure, and right now that has been the concern, and with the starting pitching not going deeper into the games, and now they're running a little bit on E for the amount of arms. You know, we're even thinking about who could be the next guys up. But in your mind then, Bordy, you've been around so many teams. What would be a message as you're coming back to Baltimore? You have another division rival, and the AL East has been the division the O's have actually owned the last 2 years, but they split with Toronto to open the year, lose to Boston in a series at home. What would be your kind of messaging here as we're 13 games in and about to open up a homestand coming back to Camden Yards?
Yeah, I mean, you just got to keep it simple. You know, obviously, it's still early in the season. You know, pull it together. You still got to just play the game hard, and you got to play it right. And I think, unfortunately, the Orioles haven't really been playing it right enough. So if the adjustments need to be made, I would think control the things you can control, which are better base running. So you may have to review that. That's for sure. Because a couple instances I'm going like, what is going on right here? And then even defensively, you know, the preparation, honing in, just being a little sharper, crisper. And for the most part, you know, Ryan, as well as anybody, that, you know, as your confidence builds, whether it be getting a blue pit or making a nice play, as things start to stack on top of each other, just confidence becomes overwhelming, and then you just play a more relaxed brand of baseball. And that's really what the Orioles have been doing the last couple seasons, aside from maybe the second half of last year and the start of this year. But I expect them to turn things around. So the message is stay positive, keep working hard. The hope is that starting pitching somehow gets resolved and maybe they can somehow land an arm or two, but even doesn't have to be an ace. We just got to get to the middle part of the season and see where we are.
Oriole Hall of Famer Mike Bordick, our colleague on Baltimore Baseball Tonight, brought to you by Jerry's Home Services. We're going to be at Pickles all next week. Bordy, we look forward to seeing you. Mike.
Yeah, here I am.
We're looking forward to seeing you next week down in Pickles.
What the heck?
Yeah.
You guys just cut me off when I was talking about the Be More Baseball podcast.
Oh, my bad.
We'll talk about it real quick.
Go for it. Go.
Okay. Well, Nick Markakis is our special guest this week. Of course, you guys know him as one of the greatest Orioles of all time. So great insight about this young Oriole team. He, of course, was down there in spring training. Be More Baseball podcast. Check it out on YouTube. You got to like it, too. Subscribe.
Who's your co-host for that Be More podcast?
Oh, my gosh. The great Jerry Coleman. The great Jerry Coleman, who we all know and love.
Well, I'm in now. Mike Bordick, always great to talk to you. See you next week at Pickles.
Same here. Thanks, Bob. Thanks, Ryan.
There's Mike Bordick, Vinny at 81057 The Fan. Vinny's off next 2 days in St. Louis. Bob, Eddie, Ryan Ripken, however, we got you covered. You want to vent on the Orioles? I guess we're venting. We've kind of calmed down a little bit. Hey, Mike's like, nothing to see here. Please disperse. Ryan's been kind of even keeled. Nolan's ready to stick a fork in him. I don't know where I'm going yet. We'll talk about that. If you want to join us, you can at 410-583-1057. Corbin Burns was on the Ryan Ripken show. We're going to hear from him explaining why, in fact, that he's in Arizona, not in Baltimore. Corbin Burns was on the Ryan Ripken show. Talked about what a loyal listener he was to 105.7 The Fan. That's not the big topic of discussion there, but let's bring old Nolan McGraw in. Quick draw. You were going running hot for you early about the Orioles. Mm-hmm. You think this next home stand could tell a lot about the entirety of said season. Have you had almost 2 hours to reflect? Are you still feeling that way?
I feel the same.
Okay.
Felt the same way watching the game yesterday. And I mean, look, it's the situation they're in. It's a lot of the same guys that have been here the last couple of years. The core of the team is the same. You know, there's no doubt in my mind that a player like Cedric Mullins can continue to do what he's doing right now, or that Gunnar Henderson could perform at an MVP level like he did last year. That's not really my concern. I think even if those things do happen, even if the lineup is on their A game, is that enough? That's my greater concern right now. And the main point I was making at the start of the show is that, again, they don't have a fifth starter. Things are dire. You know, help is not on the immediate horizon. Kyle Gibson would be your next closest source of depth and help, realistically, start of May for him. And that would probably be best case scenario. So I just think there's nobody wearing the cape that's going to come and be a savior right now. This team can dig deep. But is it still going to be enough? I think the damage might have already been done with how their offseason went.
Hmm. Well, see, things have changed over the last couple of hours, Nolan.
He's even more negative than he was before.
Hey, but I mean, well, but look,
I'm sorry, I'll let you go here. I just say,
I feel your pain.
I feel like I'm in a paradox sometimes on this station. Too optimistic for the pessimists, too pessimistic for the optimists. I just give my opinion.
You be right? You.
That's my opinion isn't compromised by anything.
Right.
I don't have a personal vendetta against everybody. I've been an Orioles fan my entire life. I just speak my mind.
You be you, Nolan.
And I love that. The thing that we're talking about, this, Nolan, you're not the only one out there that is feeling that way.
I don't care what other people think.
That's why we love you, Nolan. That's why we love you. But it is true there's concern. Why? Because you're asking every year, Bob. This is what we've discussed. 2023 was the surprise year. It's the feel good. You win the division, and then you falter in the playoffs. Last year was supposed to be the year. You trade for Corbin Burns. Bradish gets healthy. Grayson, you're going to have this unbelievable staff with this offense, and then it goes away. I think people's biggest fear, Bob, is that are the Orioles going to miss their window of time, and are they going to get that back? Is this team continuing to ascend? Or are they going to continue to be kind of stuck in the mud? Because I'll tell you what, Texas Rangers we're seeing right now is watching them. They go and make moves. They win the World Series. They have one down year. And now they look back to being a World Series contender. The question is, when are the Orioles going to be those contenders?
It seemed a year ago this time, we were talking about them being one of the best teams in baseball. They high water mark, I know I'm repeating myself, they spanked the Yankees 17-5 on that weekday in the Bronx. They were leading the league in home runs, runs scored, OPS. They were just mashing away. They had studs in the rotation, at least at the top end. Then he went to Houston and got handed to him. And then foul ball off a wrist. Then a pitch off a wrist. And then a Latisius Oh, by the way, we haven't had a closer all season long. We're just kind of patching things together. And then the second half, and as Derek, I believe it was, said earlier, 100 games in, they're below 500. I mean, so that's sample sizing right now. It just does not feel like the same team. But that's just me. I'm not
right.
I don't think it's dire just yet because Westberg, Gunner, Adley, Mullins, we'll get in our curse stat in the next hour. I mean, there are pieces there. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I'm a little more concerned than I was, say, 3 weeks ago.
And what happened last year, you mentioned the injuries and all the shortcomings and everything. That was real, you know. But whether you want to call it excuses or reasons, it doesn't matter. I think the fan base just feels like they've exhausted that. Hmm. The time for excuses is over. And even if they did have another year this year where injuries were a leading factor in their downfall, I just don't think people want to hear it anymore because we just went through a full year of it last year. You didn't really do much to, you know, give yourself a little bit more of a cushion in the offseason. And if you end up back in the same situation, people aren't going to feel sorry for you.
No, I think that's a good way to put it. No one's feeling sorry for the team. And I even said this last year. I remember being on Baltimore Baseball Tonight. No one cares how injured you are. You know, and I'll say this, the Dodgers went and won the World Series last year, and people forget, yes, they did have Ohtani, and they had Mookie Betts and Freddie Freeman, which those guys, Freddie Freeman and Mookie Betts, missed time. They weren't healthy all the time. Their starting staff was ravaged.
Yep.
Jack Flaherty then became their guy in the second half when they traded for him after the deadline, and they found a way to win. No one cares how you do it. They care if you win games. And I think that's the sentiment that you're throwing out there, Nolan. So let's play the other side of this. The Orioles scratch and claw here and say that they are around 500, over 500, maybe squeaking around. And then you're hearing the reports that Kyle Bradish is on his way. It's getting closer. Oh, and then maybe Grayson Rodriguez is starting to throw the baseball again. And Zach Eflin is on his way back. Does the perception change? No,
in terms of hoping for injured guys to be the same. Well, no, because again, we just went through this a year ago. Yeah. I feel like it's Groundhog Day. And look, if we're having a conversation later this year that Bradish is in potential striking distance of a return, I'm rooting for him. I love Kyle Bradish. I would allow myself to be a little excited about that. I think fans should be, but it should be realistic optimism, knowing that, okay, this isn't a guy that's going to guaranteed to give you however many innings over the rest of the season. It's kind of just a bonus.
Well,
I think you need to put yourself in a winning position without those guys. If they give you a bonus on top of that, that could be what takes the team over the top and makes them truly a World Series contender. But you can't depend on them solely to get to the World Series.
And there are no reinforcements down on the farm. I mean, maybe Brandon Young could be that guy coming up here, but Trevor Rogers, Chase McDermott, we're not seeing them anytime soon. They're convalescing. The one guy, the one pitcher who might have the greatest upside of them all, and you know him personally, I just see Grayson Rodriguez going out there and he's going to crank one up to 98, 99, and all of a sudden we're not going to see him for 2 months. For whatever particular reason. We'll get into that and more. You want to rag on the Orioles? Are they done? Did the window close already? We're not even at eight. We're not even at tax day yet. If people are sticking a fork in them. But they haven't been all that great. The record speaks for itself, and they've been bad in many areas, and we'll discuss that and more. If you're on the phones, we'll get you next. 410-583-1057. Bob Eddy, Ryan Ripken, Nolan McGraw here on the Fan.